wow, I just think these people are so smart. I mean, it's like every single thing that's been spoken about is stimulating to me of the possibility of this evolutionary urge, evolutionary impulse, actually being connected to design and control, where design and control is not a cemented idea in our heads about the right answer or the will. It is it's active and creative and full of life current. While you were speaking, Adam, and when you spoke about this upstairs, about the striving, what came to my mind is the song The Impossible Dream. Because it, you know, it goes to strive with your last ounce of courage. And I was trying to look up some of the other words, but there is something about to dream the impossible dream. I mean, that's what, you know, it's talking about. But striving where your passion is fully surrendered is, I mean, if you describe striving that way, it's different than I'm going to do this no matter what. And I tell you, I ended up moving to Colorado because someone said to me, how long are you going to stay in a dry well? Because I was in a situation where I kept striving to make it work, and I couldn't figure out an answer because the cycle kept repeating that there was nothing left for me to do there. But I was full of determination that I was not going to be one of those people who quit. I was not going to be one of those people who just left when it got hard. So I couldn't take that step back that Kiahi was speaking about until someone said, how long are you going to stay in a dry well? Because that's what it took for me to look at the situation as dry as opposed to me being flawed. And that made the situation not wrong, and it made me not wrong. It made me see that there was some place and something to do. And I strived with my last ounce of courage to try and make it work, but I couldn't find any more good ideas. And I think this piece that Kiahi was speaking about, like, I might have been one of the three conversations she had today, because we were talking about this, and then you come over here, well, maybe this, and then over here, well, we could do this, and you really want to do that? No, I really don't think that's a good idea either. But saying it out loud, sometimes her reflecting back to me how insane that sounded was very important. I mean, it's good to have friends who will tell you you're out of your mind, because you see something and there's such an urge to want to make a decision that you want to move it. You don't want to keep thinking about it. You don't want to keep pondering what the right answer is. I've shared this with you, and I don't know if I did it in a service, but I think I did in an expansion, that there was a person that I interviewed for FSE that it was so tough because the person was so desperate. I mean, desperate and confused and lost, but also had no structure. So, like, I kept stepping back, and I would talk to Courtney about it, and she goes, yeah, I see that, but maybe this would be the perfect thing. And we went back and forth several times till we realized for the other people involved and for the community, that was also a big part of the picture. And, like, did we need someone who needed to be grown up? I mean, like, we're not talking about a 20-year-old. We're talking about someone of past 40 years old, someone who needed that much parenting, I suppose, or that much psychological assistance on a daily basis. And so we decided it wasn't a good timing. And I even said to them, if we don't have space for you, would you consider next year? And their desire was just to get out. That's what it ended up being. Like, if I don't get in, I'm coming to Colorado. I'm changing my whole life. And it was like, well, that's okay. And then if you want to apply next year, we'll look for it. I didn't tell her on the phone that she wasn't, let Courtney do that. Courtney writes the letter. But I bring it up because it's not as though you don't eventually have to take some action to make a decision about the direction you're going to go. And if it is based on, it has to work out in a way that you had a preconceived, limited vision about, that there is a way in which you will force the factors. You know, there's many articles I've read anyway where they talk about how you you can manipulate the data to prove you're right. And some of that has to do with proving that you're right about how you see yourself. Like if you think you're a failure, you can have everything that happens go, see, I really am. Or if you think that somebody is a bad person, you can say, see, they're doing it again. And the data, as seen by another whole human being, another whole conscious person, well, you might not be so conscious if you're doing that, but somebody else seeing it would say, well, that's not what happened at all. And that's not true of you at all. Some way in which you step out of this limited view of how we see words, how you see yourself, and be open to the expansion of thinking. Like when Dorian said the Lord's Prayer in service prep, he was talking about the progression of Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom comes, thy will is done in earth as it is in heaven. It's like a progression of process. It's not, you know, your whole Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I mean, that's like out of your mouth without having any meaning for most people. It just means the name of the Father's holy. To say the Father's name is holy. And thy kingdom come, you know, like, well, to many people that means eventually the second coming of the Christ and the kingdom will be on earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That, for many people, myself included, was like, if I pay really close attention to what's in the invisible, I'll get it right in the earth. As opposed to there is design and control that's actively being engaged in the invisible and can be in the earth, and it's a willingness to let that happen in both the invisible and the visible. To allow myself to be held, you know, by the arms of the mother and do the action of the arms of the father. I mean, all that's happening in me. It's not like, well, if I look it up on Google, I'll find out what the will of the Father is. Or I'll find out what the design and control of heaven is. It's the design and control of heaven is animating me. It is the evolutionary impulse. David spoke in expansion about Jesus' words about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I was pondering that for a little bit after the expansion time, because I also never thought about it to be divided into possibility of kingdom of heaven is at hand just because the invisible is always at hand, or was it at hand because he as a being was present? Or is it both? Because it's at hand because I am present. I am alive right now, and it's also present because it is within, and it is how all things are animated. So, you know, I refer to this song, To Dream the Impossible Dream. There is, it might be considered an impossible dream to think that what's happening in the human world could reflect the design and control of the heavenly world. That could be seen as an impossible dream. I could say it's the most normal and real thing that I know. If it were impossible, I'd wish for a short life. Because I can't strive to make something happen at the level of my mind thinking it's supposed to be a certain way. I have to be surrendered and willing for the revelation of something. I have to be surrendered to the holiness that I already am and that I am connected to be revealed through my living. And then to do that with other people. I said this in the prep, and I've said it before. You shouldn't have to protect yourself from your friends. In some ways, there's wisdom in whether or not how much you actually would share your intimacy with certain people. That's wisdom. But there is also when you are with people who are interested in doing this with you, where you don't have to protect the urge coming through you, knowing you're sharing the urge and not your completed thought. You're not sharing my way or the highway. You're sharing the evolutionary thinking process with another person. It's such a gorgeous thing to have in a friend. It is the definition of friendship. If you can't do that with the person, it's a pretty limited, intimate experience. And as we learn how to do that, knowing well, that was a really bad idea. We understand this process. I am aware sometimes, you know, Rood was saying how glad he is not to have sent an email after he wrote it. I sometimes wake up in the morning remembering something that I totally didn't remember when I was considering all the options. And I don't mean in the sense that it would have been a horrible idea if I had made the decision, but all of a sudden a piece dropped in that I totally forgot was told to me or totally didn't see until the right factors. And it was like, oh, of course. Does anybody else have that? I'm sure we all have had that experience. It's like, how did I miss that? And there's this beautiful outworking of synchronicity and design. And then that design continues to live and gets filled out by the substance of the friends that, whatever friend it was that was awake at 3 in the morning, Adam's often up at 3 in the morning, who sent you that thought that reminded you that you can't do that or you can do that, whichever one it is. Well, thanks for being together tonight. And have a wonderful rest of your evening.